together. The theme for the capital campaign, which we are beginning our journey on, and the topic for the series of sermons, which we will be going through throughout the month of October. Over the entire month, we'll be exploring this theme, and of course, we're going to be doing it together. So the next few weeks, the themes for the sermons will be together in hope, together for the next generation, and together to declare his praises. But first and foremost, we must start with this sermon. And this sermon is together with Christ. We will look at what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus, to take him at his word and let go of everything to follow him. And we're going to start by looking at the gospel reading for today. It's a very great section of verses which we're able to dig into and start our capital campaign with. So in the gospel today, we see Jesus, and he's coming to the shores of the lake. Now, this is Lake Gennesaret, and he has a great multitude of people following him. They're probably following him because he'd just done miraculous things. He's healed some sick, he's cast out demons, and he's proclaiming this good news. So when he arrives at the lake, he happens upon two boats and the fishermen. They're washing their nets. And he comes to one of them and says, "Cast out from shore." And you can imagine the fishermen kind of looking at him, a little confused. I mean, they've been working hard all night. They're kind of tired, so they get up slowly, maybe even a little bit reluctantly, and push out from shore and listen to Jesus as he begins his lesson. So when his lesson has concluded, Jesus looks to one of the fishermen in the boat, Simon Peter, and says to him, "Push out to deep water and cast down your nets one more time." At this point, you can probably imagine that Simon's a little bit confused, maybe just a little bit frustrated. I mean, here we have Jesus asking him to push out a little bit deeper and then give a lesson, and then he's like going to give him advice about fishing. Jesus, the son of the carpenter, is giving Peter advice about his very livelihood. He might be asking himself, like, who's this guy to think he is to be able to say this to us, to tell us how we should live our very livelihood? But that's not really how Peter responds. See, Peter responds by saying, "You know, Master, we've worked hard all night long and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will cast down the nets one more time." And to his surprise, when he does so, he catches such a miraculous catch of fish that he's not able to pull it in. He has to call in the other boat that's with them to come over and help him haul it in. And then he looks to Jesus and says, "Lord, get away from me, for I am a sinful man." To which Jesus replies, "You will now fish for people." So when Jesus calls us, when Jesus calls you, how do you respond? I imagine there is a little bit of reluctance, some uncertainty when that happens. I imagine that we often don't just drop everything and follow him. Often our response isn't like that of Simon Peter's. When the Lord calls us, when the Lord convicts us, we often cling onto those things that we unknowingly keep first in our lives. Jesus calls us to come with hands wide open, but often we come with them closed and tight-fisted. We don't always take him at his word. We don't really listen to God and see what he is doing in our lives and for us. So what is it you won't let go of? What is keeping you from taking the Lord at his word and dropping everything to follow him? Now, your list might be just a little bit different than mine, but what I hold on to is money, time, my health. And from those things, you can think of any numerous amount on that list. Now, maybe yours aren't the same, but maybe you hold on to other things. Maybe you hold on to sporting events just a little bit too tightly. Maybe you hold on to your jobs or your homes, your cars, your families. maybe what you hold on to is a little bit more personal. Maybe you hold on to your emotions a little bit too tightly. I've seen that many times. I've seen people, as we gather together, and we hold grudges against one another, and it's as if there's no way around the issues we have. I've seen couples hold on to their differences so tightly and use them just at the right time to shatter relationships. I've seen people hold on to worry, anxiety, pain, anger, sadness, maybe even some hatred. And it ruins them. There's a time and a place for all of these emotions, as God gives them to us to feel, but he does not give them to us to hold on to them. And why do we hold on to them? Well, in a certain sense, we hold on to them because we really think we can't function without them. We put them deep within our hearts, a place where really only God should be. And when Jesus calls us, and he does so daily, we often are convicted to re-examine those things, re-examine what we won't let go of. We wonder if we'll really actually be okay if we let go of these things. A campaign like the one we're starting today causes us and really challenges us and our priorities, our values, our idols. It makes us think on whether or not God is really first in our lives. Look again at how Simon Peter responds to Jesus with this miraculous catch of fish. He throws himself down at Jesus' feet and says, "Get away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Peter realizes that his job, his career, his very livelihood, and all the stuff that comes with that, he put in the place that was really only meant for God. He realized he was a dead and sinful man, and he asked the Lord to leave him. But Jesus didn't leave him down there. Jesus raised him to life just as he raises us to life. And now Paul speaks about this in his letter to the Ephesians, in our epistle reading for today. He writes that God, being rich in mercy, according to the great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God raised us up together with Christ. And now the call he extends to be his disciples, we are asked to drop everything and follow him. Now, when I was reading through this epistle reading, an interaction I had with Pastor Kamalo came to mind. It was one of my first interactions I had with him. It was way back in the first couple weeks of August, so I was just fresh off the boat. So he arrived one morning, and, you know, just saying hi to everybody, and sets up his iPad. He just returned from traveling through Chicago, so he was working on paying some tolls, and he calls me over to help him out, and we're going through this website trying to find which tolls he passed, and you'd think Illinois, being known for its tolls, would make it a little bit easier to find the tolls he crossed. But anyways, after much toil and a little bit of time, we finally managed to pay for these tolls. And we talked a little bit, and then he said to me one word, and I'm going to kind of teach that to you today. Please excuse me, my Zulu is not fluent. So he said this word, "Ongzalile." Ongzalile. Let's try it one more time. Ongzalile. Now, this word, it's kind of what Paul is getting at in his letter to the Ephesians. It means you have given birth to me, or you have brought me to life. And he writes, God, being rich in mercy, according to the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We are made alive together with Christ. And that is where we are starting. It is of utmost importance that we begin our journey for this campaign together with Christ. He is our focus and calls us to go on this journey together with him and those around us. Now, in this chapter of Ephesians, Paul is laying out for us and showing us that we are brought to life, but also brought to live together with Christ. And I think this kind of really describes what the church is like here. I have another story to tell you. Last week, there was an official from the seminary. He's the placement director. He's kind of the reason I'm here for you today. And he was visiting, just kind of seeing what our Savior was like. He had a meeting with Pastor Wendland and I, just asking various questions about what I do on the day-to-day basis. And I told him, I work on sermons, I teach, I do shut-in visits, that kind of stuff. And then he began to ask me, what's life? What are the people like? What is everything like here at our Savior? And I couldn't help but narrow it down to just four words. Our Savior is alive. And yes, that's very much a play on the gospel, but it's also what I think is going on here. We have such an abundant amount of ministries where we reach so many people and we can bring this good news, this message of Jesus, that God, who is rich in mercy, according to the great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. When Jesus calls you to leave everything and follow him, he's really inviting us to a new life that is truly life. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you as well." We can follow Jesus with the joy and peace, knowing full well that he has done everything for our salvation and made us alive together with him. And now we are able to follow him together in hope, together for the next generation, and together to declare his praises. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep our hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus. Amen.